And that sound is the start of another missile for the masses. This is the Chaplain's Assistant Mortar Pod. I am your host, Gary, and this is the podcast where I talk what's going on in my life of collecting, whether that's comic books, toys, or recent events. And this podcast is centered around focusing around G.I. Joe, a real American hero, the toy line, and the comic books, focusing on the toys from 1982 to 1994, and also the comic books, which are currently being printed by Skybound Publishing. And with me on this episode is Casey. Casey, tell everybody where you're from and who you are.
I'm Casey. I do a YouTube show called Podcast from the Pit with a couple friends where we discuss our collecting habits. We don't break news. You're not going to see us and think this is an awesome toy review. That's not us. There's plenty of shows out there for that, and they're all great. But we just talk to people about toys. Whatever makes us happy, we just get away for an hour and just discuss toys.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for, at this point, like I think two and a half months ago, you had me on your show. I had a great time. And, you know, you and I have been talking, you know, semi-constantly for all the years that both of us have been doing our respective shows. I will say I do miss you being on my podcast platform because that is my preferred media.
But it's coming back. I just got to, you know, I saved all the audio recordings. I just got to figure out how to transfer them over. And because we get that a lot. And I'm thankful that people want to hear it. And as soon as me and Matt can actually, away from work, sit down and figure it out, we will start uploading them all.
That'd be great. Cause I try to stay current with YouTube shows that I like, and yours is one of them, but
it just
doesn't work all the time. So thank you for coming on today. And today, if you're listening to the podcast, you'll see the title. We are talking about the Energon universe from March 2024. It's April, so we're talking about March's books. Void Rivals was covered on an earlier missile, so we'll be talking today about Transformers number 6, Cobra Commander number 3, and Duke number 4. Start off with Transformers number 6. That came out on March 13th. Daniel Warren Johnson is the writer slash artist on the book. Mike Spicer is the colorist, and Russ Wooten was the letterer. So, Casey, how many books do you normally pick up?
I get the four Energon books. I get the James Bond, which Garth Ennis is writing. It's amazing. It fluctuates from being at the Doctor Who's getting ready to come out again, so I'll get that. I love Valiant, so I think I'm getting a Bloodshot right now. You know, I would say 10 or less right now. Back in my heyday of comics, it was probably 10 or so a week. I used to work at a comic book store, so I was on top of all of it.
Getting high on your own supply.
Yep.
So, but I guess I'll reword my question because I screwed that one up. How many do you get multiple covers when you buy the Energon Universe books or any of your other books at these?
Just the Duke and the Cobra Commander. And I, you know, Larry Hama's, if I see a second cover there, I'll grab that.
Okay.
But mostly I get the basic cover. And if I see another one, I can't help myself but to buy it.
All right. Yeah. So we're in the same boat. That's exactly what I do. You know, so for Transformers number 6, I only got the cover A. You know, a nice cover of Sparky standing over the husk, I would call it, of Optimus Prime.
It does not look good.
Yeah, it is. It's a. I really got to say, I've warmed up to Daniel Warren Johnson's art. I know he did that book Extremity, and I read that. I've read a couple issues of that, but now, once I realized it was that guy and I started piecing together the Transformers books, like, I really like his art style. It's definitely unique. It's very quote unquote indie. It's not like House DC or House Marvel. But you know, I've warmed up to it. And also I think he's also gotten better at drawing the Transformers books, playing with perspective and stuff. So, dive in a little bit, just go over basically what happened in Transformers number 6. It's the battle of the Autobots versus Devastator and the Decepticons. Prime is mortally wounded. He takes out the Matrix and drops it as he lays dying. But Sparky inserts himself, sacrificing himself into the Matrix, reanimating Optimus Prime. Meanwhile, it is Cliffjumper and Carly versus Starscream. They get Starscream dead to rights, but when it's time for Cliffjumper to fire the final shot, he has a crisis of conscience, pausing, which allows Starscream to grab Carly. But the fight of Optimus versus Devastator reaches its crescendo as Prime throws the attacking Gestalt and they land on Starscream, releasing Carly, and Cliffjumper catches her. The fight is over and the Constructicons carry Starscream away. Prime tries to reason with Soundwave, but Soundwave quietly tries to punch Optimus, but Prime calmly blocks it. Thundercracker carries Soundwave away, and then the last page leaves us with Spike waking up and looking for his dad. So, in a nutshell, that's what happens in Transformers number 6. Casey, anything you want to talk about on the book? Something you liked, didn't like?
Well, I mean, just to start off, I really think he is the artist to do this comic book. I think he just kills it. And the story, I mean, there's no... After what happened to Bumblebee in the first issue, you never know who's going to live through this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely has a ring of finality to each book.
And... I love all the action, all the Decepticons versus Autobots, Ratchet losing his leg to when the Ark's door came down. I thought that was awesome. Devastator, does he get dumber when he gets put together? Because it seems like everything changes.
Yeah, it's like simpler. And everything is much more... Yeah, I guess dumber is a word.
Yeah.
Dumber is the word. I was trying to dance around it. I hope
so. Yeah. But, and, you know, a lot of people may judge this, but Starscream is my favorite Transformer. And I'm not a big Transformer guy. I only have a few figures, and they're mostly Starscream. But, I don't know. There's something about just how crazy he is that I really like. So I was kind of hoping Cliffjumper wasn't going to pull the trigger on him.
Yeah, that would have been a huge upset, much right. Like Bumblebee getting taken out early on in the series. And it's funny you mentioned Daniel Warren Johnson's art, because this is his last issue. Next issue, he will not be doing the art. He will be doing the story, but this is his last one doing the art. So... Yeah, that's an interesting choice. I'm interested to see whomever takes it over, how it comes out.
Yeah, I mean, hope it's good, because I think the art is half of what really, because I'm not a Transformers guy. And just how the story and the art play together just brings me into the comic.
Yeah, my big thing was one of the things on my notes for like was... There's that scene where Optimus is charging into the fight again, and the sound effect behind him are the words, "You know the song." So I can only assume that they're referring to "You Got the Touch"
right.
by Stan Bush. And the other thing, I have never liked the way that they've shortened Sparkplug's name to Sparky, but it finally has the payoff in the book of... When Prime drops, you know, he's dying and he drops the Matrix, and Sparky goes into the Matrix. And that made me think of, you know, the spark that really, you know, Beast Wars, you know, they refer to everybody's spark. you know, that brought like the whole thing full circle. It made sense. It, you know, it works for me.
Right. No, it's good. It's very good. And, you know, I still love that Optimus has Megatron's gun arm. I love that.
Yeah, it's I really like how this there's good continuity. I mean, granted, the same guy drawing is the same guy writing it, but everything, you know, nothing changes for the sake of changing. The story stays consistent rather than everything, you know, always, you know, like you said, Megatron's arm on Optimus Prime. You know, they could easily say, well, that's not on model. Let's come up with a reason to give him an arm, where we've read in these, you know, as this concludes the first arc, you know, we've read that they're scarce on materials and scarce on, you know, Energon and fuel and stuff. So it actually, by leaving it on, it tells to the keeping that story, you know, grounded as they can keep the story grounded.
Right. Yeah. As, you know, walking, talking, transforming robots can be. I've truly enjoyed the first six issues. So I'm hoping, you know, I will continue to buy these as long as the story stays good.
Yeah, that's I'm going to stick with it as long as they're doing the Energon universe, just as a completionist.
I'm glad I don't have that completionist part, because all the different toy lines I get, that would get really expensive. But I'm hoping that the consistency will be there. And I don't see why it wouldn't be. I think they've made great decisions so far in Energon universe, so I only see it going up from here.
Yeah. Do you have anything else, or are we ready to move on to Cobra Commander?
No. Like I said, I'm more of a Joe guy. I would say 90-10 Joe Transformers. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm like 99-1.
Right.
So, all right.
I'm just happy that it's a great story.
All right. So we'll move on to the next book in March of 2024.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
That is Cobra Commander number 3. It was released on March 20th, and Josh Williamson is the writer. Andrea Milana is the artist. Anna Lisi Leone is the colorist, and Russ Wooten is the letterer. I'm going to be talking about four covers today. And we'll start off with cover A by Milana and Leone, which is Cobra Commander tied up, hunched over, with Zarana behind him, getting ready to do something, maybe interrogate or torture. She has her gun, which has the saw blade underneath the barrel. And there is like a bear trap or something on a chain hanging from the wall. They're in the shack, and very representative of the issue. Casey, you have any thoughts on that cover?
That is the one I have. I don't know if I've seen another one. Yes. I don't know if I've gotten a second cover of this one. I mean, if I did, I picked it up at my shop at the same time, and I just read this one. But I know the Dukes I've gotten multiple covers on.
Okay. So I like these covers, the mm-hmm. main covers. They've all been really good, you know, using the interior artists for the cover artists.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah, so you know what you're getting.
Yeah. There's a second cover by Paul Azaceta. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. it is of Cobra Commander walking through the Everglades with a giant alligator head over him.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I don't have that one.
Oh, okay. That's
cool.
Yeah, it's you know, you have the sun setting, you know, it's a golden orange background. It is partially, I would call it, deconstructed. You know, the line work is not sharp, but it's more of like an almost like a little bit of an impressionistic painting. I like it. I actually think it's really indicative of what happens in this issue without, hammering you over the head with what happens in this issue.
Yeah.
You don't have it, so I'll just comment that I think it's a strong cover.
And it looks good.
And then next up is the 1 in 10 cover by Chris Burnham and Brian Reber. It's Buzzer in the face shield of Cobra Commander, and it is very House Marvel.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's very cartoon-esque with heavy inks and bright contrasting colors.
I like that a lot.
Another one. I mean, they're really on this time. Sometimes these extra covers, they don't really tell you what's going on in the book. And then they're like, oh, that's pretty, but I could have lived without it. When I go to my local comic shop, if I see the extra covers, I buy them. Mm-hmm. If I get there and they're not there, then I consider it, well, I lost it out. I'm not in the position of going on eBay, paying eBay prices, eBay shipping, and then getting them that way. As long as I get the one book in my pull, I'm good. Right. But I like having the extras. And then finally, we have the 1 in 25. It is the explosion back pinup of Zarana. Yeah, she's crouching with her machine gun over her left shoulder. It's a good image of Zarana because a lot of people I've found, it's like Zarana is very hit or miss art style wise. Like some people either draw her like not attractive at all, or they, you know, she's not supposed to be pinup friendly, but it's nice when you see that, like, you know, that tough girl image. And I think they did a really good job here. It's not my favorite one of Zarana, but it's a solid image of Zarana. I always like to say which one I would get if I was only able to get one cover. So I would go with, at this point, I would just go with cover B by Paul Azaceta. I really like that painterly look. I really like the alligator over the commander, the imagery there. It is extremely strong. I still like it. This is one of those cases where I like it more than the cover A.
I would probably go C if it was for me, because I really like that. But yeah. I'm happy with A.
Yeah, hey, you know, you can't, sometimes you can't get them all.
Right.
Complicated Pokemon.
It doesn't mean I won't look for that one, though, because I really do like that one a lot.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to Joe Fest, you know, you can keep your eye out for comic books there.
I'm going to. It's on my list of things to do.
So, all right, we'll do a quick plot summary. The commander's protector is searching for him into the Everglades, killing a snake. Unbeknownst to him, the commander is being dragged into the depths of the marsh by a very large mutated alligator. The commander draws a gun shooting it. I notice, I don't know if you saw this, but there's an eye that looks a little robotic on that alligator. So I'm not sure what's going on there. It might be just the art style, but to me it looked a little bit robotic.
It does.
Not just me, folks. A harpoon with a chain attached is shot into the water, and the commander grabs it. All right, we flip the page, and we get to a bar where Zarana and Ripper enter, with Zarana wanting to talk about the juice, the glowing goo. They've seen what it can do. As readers, we haven't really yet. And they're discussing what to do with it, like selling it to the highest bidder. They're asking about Cobra Commander when Xandar brings him in captive. Buzzer gets shocked trying to take the helmet off. Zarana gets torched to try and cut it off, and when he fails, the Dreadnoks start to torture him to get him to talk. Ripper draws a smiley face on the commander's helmet in the commander's blood. He leaves, and then it is Xandar's turn to try and interrogate. This is when Cobra Commander turns into the persuader he is. Having listened during his torture, he's picked up on subtle things going on, and he turns it around, starting with Xandar. He's just another lackey to Zarana, and she's going to call their brother. Next is Buzzer. The commander has somehow gleaned that Buzzer was a professor and that Xandar thinks he's a poser and not blood like the rest of the Dreadnoks. Zarana comes back with Torch, and she sees through the commander's mind games when the other dreadnoughts crash back in fighting. Zorana says to take the commander to the bunker, but not to disturb the doctor's work. And I have that in quotes. That's verbatim. That's when the commander taps a button on his palm that alerts his protector. The dreadnoughts bring the commander outside where the protector is waiting. Buzzer attacks, but the protector is hardly phased, you know, taking a chainsaw to the face. The commander says that he's found the power source and the mission for Golobulus has been fulfilled. That's when the protector dramatically sheds his trappings, revealing himself as Nemesis Enforcer. Awesome double page spread. So we flip the page to the final page, and the dreadnoughts have been told, having been told to attack, all we get to see is a progressive three panel page close up on the commander and the commander's helmet. There's blood and sounds filling the air of the dreadnoughts being beaten by the enforcer. The final panel is a close up of the commander's scarred helmet with that smiling face placed by Ripper, still smiling. Casey, over to you. What are you some initial thoughts on this book?
My first initial thought is this thing is so heavily classified with how they've did their characters. Is it going to be Nemesis Immortal or Nemesis Enforcer? We'll have to wait and find out.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the San Diego Comic-Con reveal? Isn't that?
Yeah, I know the character is going to be, the figure is going to be immortal. I'm just wondering how they're going to handle it in the comics. It could go either way, I guess.
Either way. Yeah. Are you waiting for your Xandar classified figure to show up?
You know, I don't do a lot of classified anymore, but I would do Xandar. I think Xandar is an underrated character. I liked his storyline a long time ago when he was part of the Coil. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
But I think he's underused. He's just cool Zorana. And I think together, I mean, they're, I don't know. I think you shouldn't have one without the other, kind of like the Crimson Twins. You know, I think both of them together are awesome. But all the work that the Dreadnoughts did on Cobra Commander, and he still wouldn't talk, and figures out a way to get to him, that's classic Cobra Commander. That's not the cartoon Cobra Commander. That's the comic book Cobra Commander. And I love it.
Yeah, the you know, you mentioned the Devil's Due run just recently, and that was the first time G.I. Joe kind of grew up with its readers. And it's funny you said that, because that's one thing I know you listen, but I know I harp on it. Like, that's what this story is. These new Energon books, they are decades, or, you know, they're aimed at a much older audience. And they're hugely classified influence for the character designs. So,
which is smart. I mean, that's the toys they're trying to sell. You need media. I think it's smart.
So, this is, I would like to see where they keep going with Cobra Commander, because I like the character design in here, and we haven't gotten this design in figure form. This is not his version one, you know, design. It's modified, but it's not what we got in that early, series of classified. Right. These books make me want to buy classified figures.
Fighting.
You know, but it's a
vicious cycle.
It is. I mean, but like you said, Xandar, right? You know, how cool it'd be to be put together your classified Xandar subset, or your classified Dreadnought subset.
Oh, I know. I got to be picky and choosy when it comes to my classifieds now, because space.
Oh, yeah.
No, of course, I couldn't pass on the Airborne because he's my favorite, so I got him. But I don't know. These comics, if they would do a comic book line classified, I'd be all in. I mean, the Duke, the Cobra Commander, the Nemesis Enforcer / Immortal.
Immortal, yeah. But then
this finally... Cobra Commander is so cool. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I'll honestly say I might pick up the Nemesis Immortal. I'm definitely looking forward to Raptor. I like the weirdos.
Me too.
But like this, it does. It gets the juices flowing. You know, if they finally come out with a Pythona.
Oh, yeah.
She was in issue number one. So I would like to finally do something with that.
Or maybe a good Globulus. You know that?
A Globulus you can actually pose.
Right. That would be something.
Interchangeable legs. So I got a like a yo. I liked it when they go into that bar, that very first like two panels, you know, Zoran and Ripper walk into the bar, and then like Ripper's like, hey everybody, you know, Zoran is trying to say something, and then he just randomly shoots the guy at the bar.
Not a leg shot either. He got him in the stomach.
Gotcha.
It means business. No, that is awesome. And then, I have a couple yos.
Yeah, go for it.
My turn. Okay. I love how Cobra Commander is so I can't get the word out.
Manipulative?
There we go. With the dreadnoughts. Being tortured. He's still in charge. He even tells them, I'm your future master. You know, he's not fazed. I love that. I love the little bloody smiley face that they put on him. I thought that was a nice dreadnought touch. But one of my favorite parts is at the end where Nemesis Enforcer is, well, we can only imagine, taking apart the dreadnoughts. And all we get is the sounds and the look of the bloody smiley face. I mean, we're seeing all kinds of violence without seeing the violence. I like that. Some things are scarier when you don't see it.
Yeah, that was actually my next note was that last page, you know, closing out the issue, setting up the next issue is wonderful.
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, it's completely evil, but it's such a great way to end this book. Like you said,
It's fantastic. Now, next month when we see the aftermath of that, I'd like to see that too.
Absolutely. This book is definitely not leaving on like it's leaving on a cliffhanger of what's going to happen next, just because you want to see how far they keep taking this.
Oh yeah.
It's not like, oh, what has happened to, you know, is Cobra Commander going to live? You know, no, it's that, who cares about that? It's like,
right.
You know, what is next for Cobra Commander on this adventure?
And, you know, I never thought I'd hear myself say, because I was not a fan of Cobra Law, but I mean, what's going to happen with Cobra Law? You know what I mean? They're setting it up. If they get to Energon, it could be a whole new world.
Yeah, and that's, they're using it without overusing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also like the fact that the dreadnoughts have been portrayed as true threats.
Oh yeah.
It isn't like, oh, they're a biker gang, and you know, and it's like, well, why is the military going after a biker gang rather than, you know, police? You know, this one, now they feel like a true formidable paramilitary threat.
Definitely.
Do you have another good thing or another yo or a no?
I didn't have any no's. I mean, all three issues so far has kept me interested, kept me, you know, could not wait for the next one to come. I would like to see a little bit more backstory on Xander and Zoranna, but it's not their comic. Maybe we'll see something in the future for them. I mean, I know we got Scarlet and Destro coming. I'll have high hopes for both of those. But eventually, I would like to see an Energon, like a team book or something.
Yeah. And that's, I think there's supposed to be a G.I. Joe book coming out after the Duke, too. So there might be three Joe books going on. I'm not sure. I used to be one of those guys that follows, you know, previews and everything. But. Right. I haven't done that in like 2-3 years, you know, cause I don't want to get spoiled on this stuff.
Yeah.
Cause I like going in on Wednesday and being surprised, entertained, you know, go to the store, buy the book, get home, and then, you know, sneak 15, 20 minutes to give it a first read through.
I've not been disappointed with anything from Energon. I would have to say it's, I look forward to every issue.
Agreed. Yeah. And I have to give high marks to Cobra Commander, as this thing flip-flops with Duke for being the strongest title each month. We'll do a little summary after Duke, and I'll ask you which one you liked more, and we'll go there. But I want to, the only other thing I want to talk about Cobra Commander is that double page spread of Nemesis Enforcer, of when he's bursting out. It is so dramatic. It is so powerful. You just got him like flexing, and you know, it's a very energetic pose. And then like in the background, you just have, you know, Cobra Commander with his, you know, hands behind his back, just like looking on, you know. And I just love, I loved what they did with the character in this book, how they ended it with characterizing, you know, the scar on the face mask and the, you know, then the smiley face. Yeah. It worked for every single page afterwards.
Now, can you imagine a classified Cobra Commander figure from the Energon with an alternate head, with that mask, with the smiley face?
I'd buy it. I would honestly say I would buy it.
Me too.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to Duke number 4. Duke number 4 is the last book from the Energon universe, March 27th. Josh Williamson is the writer. Tom Riley is the artist. Jordi Belair is the colorist. And Russ Wooten is the letterer. And I've got 4 covers. So the first cover is cover A by Tom Riley. It is Duke almost leading the battle. You know, his left fist is in the air, his right arm in the air, holding up the M4, I want to say, carbine, like the M16-derived weapon. You know, there's an explosion to his back. Stalker and Rock and Roll are firing their guns in the foreground in a close-up. And in the back, you got Baroness. Not on a ram. It's not really a ram. It's essentially the Kawasaki USMC motorcycle. She's driving it with clutch on the back. Bonus points for actually using the KLX 650 diesel variant on the cover, not a ram. I am a little bit nerdy about that one. And say that again.
I said it's all good. I mean, that's, you know, listen to your podcast and you go deep dive into everything. It's awesome. Just don't ever apologize for that.
Well, that's why I said him. It's like I said, I wanted, it's like, why can't you just make the ram, just make that motorcycle. You don't have to make it what you had, right? You know, do something new. Oh, anyway, tangent. So I think that's a good cover. It tells what's going on in the story, gets the whole cast of characters. You got any thoughts on your cover, Ray?
I really enjoy it. Like I said, we'll probably get a classified version of this Duke, which would be pretty cool. And we've already got the Stalker and Rock and Roll. Yeah, yeah. I like it. It's not my favorite cover I've seen from this issue, but I like it.
Yeah, I will go on and say is that I'm probably one of those few guys that liked the first version of Duke, you know, which was classified number 1.
Yeah, I liked it.
And I liked it better than the retro Duke.
I didn't even buy that one.
Neither did
I'm happy with the first one.
So that's my thing on that cover. Cover B is by Andrea Bresson and Adriano Lucas. It is Duke hanging upside down by chains, and we see a knife being held to his face, and in the reflection of the knife is the Baroness.
It's nice.
It's a good cover. It is painterly. It is, you know, there's not heavy line work. It's very, you know, like I said, they use colors as the lines, so it looks much more painterly than a comic book. Solid image. And then we have the 1 in 10 variant by Tyler Boss and Jason Wordy. It is the Baroness riding her motorcycle, and Duke is in a sidecar as they drive up a hill. There is a roadblock on the incline. There's trees to their left. There is a cliff to their right. And they're being chased by two others on motorcycles. It looks like it's almost a connecting cover to their issue number 3.
I like that one.
Yeah. I don't think it's as strong as the first two.
No.
So good. It's good. It's solid. But, you know, it's not really indicative of what's going on in the book. But, you know, I'm a schmuck. I bought it. And then finally, the 1 in 25 cover by Torin Clark is a lower camera pose of Major Blood.
I like that.
And, you know, he's looking up, pistol in his left hand, dog tags in his right as he's looking up into the sky. And other of note is he doesn't have his eye patch yet in this image. But you have the explosion back, like the original G.I. Joe artwork from 1982 to 1985.
I like how the pistol's smoking, like he just put in some work.
Yeah, and there's, and also, you, I don't know if you can see it, but there's actually blood dripping from the dog tags.
Oh, yeah.
It is. There's a lot going on. This is a cover that if somebody made a print of, I'd probably pick up the print. Because like when you go to like a comic show or something, you know, who are you asking for like sketches or images of? You know, how often do you think, you know, I think today's the day I get a Major Blood for my collection. So it's actually a fabulous Major Blood. Yes. So I guess, I don't know. So I'm torn between the four. If I only had to choose one, it's really between the cover B of, you know, Duke being threatened by the blade of Baroness, or it's Major Blood. And well, it's a Duke book, so I'm kind of leaning towards the Duke, but that Major Blood, I think, is probably one of the nicest incentive variants that I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I really like cover B a lot.
All right. Let's get down to the plot breakdown. Duke number 4 starts with Stalker's battle as the pit is being invaded. So this is what he was going through in the events of issue number 3. The Baroness still has Duke at gunpoint. Rock and Roll and Clutch are battling their attackers as Duke tells the Baroness that the people after him will also silence her. Stalker manages to join the group and they descend deeper into the pit, ending in the motor pool. The Bloodhounds are up top, waiting for Major Blood, who emerges, now scarred from ear to his eye, with the eye missing. The pit opens up its top ramp, and a Skystriker, APC, and Mobat emerge to the Bloodhound's shock. They strike the Bloodhounds, and the APC hits Major Blood. The Bloodhounds retreat, and the Baroness makes her getaway on a Fang. Duke leaves in the Skystriker. We go to Mars Industries, and Mercer informs Destro that Duke escaped. Destro knows that Duke will be coming for them and calls Scrap Iron into action. Scrap Iron fires on the Skystriker, knocking it out of the sky, but Duke escapes the wreckage. Duke finds his way into the mountain, noting the weapons and a massive battery. We see a chest light up as Duke is snooping. Duke knows someone or something is listening. He's grabbed by the throat by a battle android trooper. And that's where we leave off on issue number 4 of Duke, with only one issue left in the Duke miniseries. Casey, got any thoughts, initial thoughts you want to talk about?
My first initial thought is I really don't want to see this comic come to an end. I'm really enjoying it. I really like the addition to the Bloodhounds. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah, I always figured Major Blood was the kind of guy that just worked with whatever operatives that paid him to do, not have his own little group. If I have one thing I'm not a fan of is it seems like we're back to the Sunbow. Everybody can fly a Sky Striker.
Well, that was, I'll say this, that was established of Duke being in a Sky Striker with Transformers issue number 2.
He was hitching a ride. He wasn't flying. But, yeah, it's such a good story. And, again, everything's highly classified, inspired.
Yeah, the Bloodhounds, to me, look a little bit like they're the basic Cobra troopers, Cobra officers. Mm-hmm. So this might be, like, a little bit of the Cobra origin story.
And the scrap iron with the face. So good. And his, what would you call that? It's not a drone, missile launcher.
Yeah, it's, yeah, like you said, it's exactly like, you know, if you've seen his classified figure, that's who you're seeing in this book. I really think Hasbro is probably pushing really it. Happy with these Energon books right now.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not a bad thing. Classified figures look really good.
Yeah, and I just think this book just takes everything up a little bit more of a notch. I do think it's like a Jason Bourne movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's not James Bond. It's, you know, it's, you know, and Duke takes a lot of punishment. I mean, he hasn't gotten a break since issue number 1.
And he's still going. A lot of people don't like Duke. They say he's too, like Hillbilly hates Duke. Say he's too vanilla. But he's never read these comics. I think he would change his mind if he read these comics, because my appreciation for Duke has gone up tenfold, and I never hated him.
Right. This is one of those things is where sometimes a character just needs the right story, like Chuckles with IDW. You know, Duke finally gets it. You know, one thing that I was like, and I know several people that are huge Stalker fans, and there's that page where they're when Stalker meets up with the rest of the group and Duke stops Stalker from slitting Baroness's neck. And he's just like, he assumes control. And Stalker's like, whatever, everything's FUBAR. I don't care at this point. You know, it was just like, that seemed kind of weak to come from Stalker. He's been stationed at the pit. And now Duke, who's never been there, is like, follow me. And it's just like, how does he
know where I'm going? Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and I get it. It's a Duke book. It's like, you know, I get it. But still, it's just like, you know, for somebody to just be like, you know, they're both first-class sergeants, I believe. You know, and for Stalker just like shrug his shoulders, like, yeah, whatever. It's just like, are you in charge or not?
You know, I really like the page where we first see Major Blood coming up holding what's left of his head where his eye's gone. And then they show the crease.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great page. Because everybody, I listened to some podcasts from the last episode and they're like, I can't believe they killed Major Blood. And I was thinking, he's not dead. They gotta give him his eye patch somehow.
Right. Yeah, there were some people immediately reporting that they killed Major Blood.
Yeah.
You know, it's not over until Doc says you're in a coma.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't be remiss on the Chaplain Sisters Motor Pod if I didn't mention that I did love the vehicles coming to action.
Yes.
The APC, the Mobat, and the Sky Striker. I remember when they were talking, they were getting ready to do the first classified HasLab, and they were talking about how big a Sky Striker would be in that scale. And they were saying it would be something north of like 50 inches long.
It's insane. And people still want a flag. I'm like, come on.
a flag would be the size of a house. Right. It would be like a trailer. It would be a literal trailer that you would have to tow behind your car.
Yeah, it's unrealistic. I mean, I can't see it myself. But I'm glad they didn't put Clutch in a Vamp. I'm glad they put him in APC.
Well, the Vamp was the previous issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, the
ABC... out of this, I like the APC idea.
Oh, there's another one. How big do you think a classified APC would be?
Oh my goodness.
It would have to hold 34 classified figures.
I think the Vanguard is going to hold 10 classified size figures. So it would have to be almost three times that size. So I don't.
It'd have to be pretty big. Yeah.
Yeah. Unrealistic.
Unrealistic. Okay. Well, finally, all right. Classified Mobat.
Huge. Huge.
Because I think
it'd be I would like to see it, though. I'd like to see it.
It'd be just a little bit larger than the Hiss.
Yeah. But so I would like to see a classified Mauler. Because I don't have a Mauler. I have a Mobat.
Yeah. Yeah. The Mauler is the better of the two tanks, but it's a shame. It's a shame that they never, the mold got lost slash broken on that one.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's why you knew that there was a G.I. Joe convention and they were going to redo getting ready to retool the Mauler as like one of the exclusives. Mm-mm. But when they went to find the tooling, it was either like broken slash incomplete. So they couldn't do the Mauler. It was just like, there's the O-ring. There's so many stories regarding what happened to the molds from the O-ring line after going back into the 90s. So, but and there is the Fang. That's definitely doable. Looking at the
Fang, yes, yes, that would be cool. I know everybody's like, oh, the Fang's is not realistic because they got no protection. I don't care. I mean, I've loved the Fang since 82, 83.
The Fang has a place.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, this book to me, like, I don't have all my classified figures still, but I still have a bunch. But it's like almost every figure in this book I have. And it's just right. Like, ooh, I could play this adventure of like, I can annoy your family and play with your toys. It's time to get the groceries. No.
I'm in the middle of something. I think even though it's like a gaudy looking suit, that Destro would be cool. With the mask, with the suit, and a Mercer that's the size of Sergeant Slaughter. That would be cool too.
Yeah, no, those that very good observations. Yeah, I would definitely. I'm still looking when I read this, is they got the Destro, right? The Pimp Daddy Destro, the Profit Director Destro. It's like, I really want to see the team doing these books. Like, I really want to see Profit Director Destro come walking into a page, like a giant splash page of Profit Director Destro. I think that would sell me.
Yeah. We were talking earlier about which comic, you say Cobra Commander and Duke go back and forth. To me, from issue one, it's always, I thought Duke was a stronger book, but both of them are amazing.
So would you still say that even for March that Duke was the stronger of the two?
I would say so. Just I think I'm more invested in the story. Right. But I love both of them. I don't think you can go wrong either one.
No, you can't go wrong with either one because I'm going to disagree with you and I'm going to say Cobra Commander is the stronger of the two. Issue two was kind of dark and I was kind of like down on it. But this one is like, I don't know why. I just felt I was more in the groove for this one. I really did like Cobra Commander more this month, but there's always next month and see how it goes.
But it's still really dark though. I mean, with the torture and
it's really these aren't your kids' G.I. Joe comic books.
No. And I'm looking at the last page of Duke. I love the bats. It's got them in the, I don't think I ever played with the bats with the claw before. I always used the other ones and I like seeing it around Duke's neck. How's it gonna get out of this one?
exactly. It's definitely a good cliffhanger for the last issue. So I'm looking forward to that. So actually, we skipped over one thing in the beginning. I do want to ask you this question, Casey.
Okay.
As we start wrapping things up, this is the Chaplain's Mortarpod. This is the podcast where I talk about vehicles, playsets, or trailers from the G.I. Joe Real American Hero toy line. Now, what do you have a favorite vehicle, playset, or trailer?
I think my favorite playset is the Terror Drone.
Great choice.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I should probably say the flag because I have one. But it's honestly, when I was 12 or 13, I probably would have said the flag because I'd be on the ground playing with it and all that.
Oh, my gosh.
But now it's just a holder for a good looking holder for my Tomahawk and Dragonfly.
Is that your childhood flag?
No.
Oh, okay.
I got it from, I didn't have one as a child. I'm saying,
okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
No. I got this, got a really great deal from Destro's Toy Den a couple of years ago. You know, the kind of deal you can't pass on. So, yeah, I love it. But I think the Terror Drone is just more playable.
Okay.
Which, you know, I thank you because you sent me a Televiper for my Terror Drone when I was talking about it, and I really appreciate that. I don't know if I've ever got around to saying it, but I really do.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah.
I've got like 10 Televipers on there and like 8 Techno Vipers and Dr. Mindbender. I just love it. I got a great deal on that, and there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing's broken. It's all complete. It's amazing.
No, the Terror Drone is an amazing playset in its own right. So, all right. Well, Casey, why don't you tell everybody where they can find more podcasts from the pit?
Hey, for the last 6-7 months, we've been exclusively on YouTube, so you can check us out on there. We do have an Instagram page that we post links to our episodes, and I'll post pictures of my toys and anything else from that toy store. I'll take some pictures and, you know, promote them. Those are the two things. We are on X, but we don't use it a lot. No TikTok. I mean, we're on Facebook. You can reach us on there too.
Alrighty. Well, Casey, thanks for coming on today and talking some Energon comics with me. For everybody, just, I don't know why you'd be just tuning in now, but this has been, I'm Gary, Chaplain's Mortarpod. You can follow me on X, Facebook, Instagram, at Chaplain Joe Pod. You can email me, chaplainjoepod@gmail.com. And you can listen wherever you find all your podcasts, not on YouTube, because that's where Podcasts from the Pit is. I don't want to compete with them.
Come on over. You do great.
I know, more the merrier. Chaplain's Mortarpod is the strange but not as strange nerdy little brother of a pint, a pop culture podcast. And with all that said and done, one final missile for the masses. Be decent to each other. Have a good night.
Everybody.
Hey again, it's Gary. And just want to remind everyone that the Chaplain's Business Motor Pod will be vending at the New Haven Comic and Collectible Spectacular. I have a booth selling some extra stuff of mine, comics and toys. And if any of the listeners out there would like to swing by and at least say hi, it's April 21st. It's at the Annex YMA Hall, 554 Woodward Avenue, New Haven, Connecticut. Hope to see some of you guys there.